Bloomington aldermen are trying to clarify when the city is willing to use a common but controversial tax incentive tool for development projects and what it means for local schools when they do. GLD's Ryan Dunham covered last night's Bloomington City Council meeting and is in studio for a recap with Mayor Terry Renner.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us after their regular and special council meetings. Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, Ryan.
Aldermen are considering approval of guidelines that would spell out how and when the city can use tax increment financing, or TIF districts, to redevelop struggling areas. The city has used TIFs before. Normal did the same with Uptown. You're talking about this now in part because the city is considering two new TIF districts, one for this East Washington Street corridor, another at that former Electrolux property north of downtown. District 87 is getting a say in what those guidelines will be because, I mean, local schools are most impacted when you start adjusting property tax dollars. So what did you think of last night's relatively civil discussion on kind of a thorny topic?
Oh, I thought it was very, very, very good. And I think we had lots of different perspectives, lots of different, as I say, viewpoints. But mostly they were not contradictory. Certainly Kathy Orr, who is our primary attorney on this, she has 40 years worth of experience in law and local government, particularly with respect to economic development and TIFs, was there to kind of give us a reality check. We've had our attorneys. We've had our economic development people in District 87. It is notable, however, right, that Unit 5, even though 60% of the city of Bloomington is in Unit 5, was not there. No other taxing bodies were there. It was just District 87. And I think they're the ones who were most concerned about TIFs as we go forward. There have been abuses of TIFs in Bloomington, frankly, going back into the 80s and 90s. Now, Alderman Mathey did note that the returns on that, in spite of perhaps the abuses of that TIF, exceeded inflation by about 5%. So I would characterize just the overall conversation between Alderman and our partners in District 87 to be very, very productive.
And just to catch folks up, if you're not totally familiar with the concept of a TIF, here's kind of the nutshell version. A designated TIF district diverts any new taxes generated by an increase in property values back into the redevelopment of that area, usually for 23 years. And municipal leaders generally say that TIF provides incentives to land these big projects without dipping into your current budget. There are critics, though, who say that TIF districts can kind of needlessly erode the tax base. They say there's sometimes lack of transparency. So that's sort of where the controversy comes
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. It was, I would say more than anything, it was the lack of transparency in Bloomington in the 80s and especially in the 90s in how the money was doled out. And I think that that's still leaving a bad taste in the mouth of many, not just in District 87, but obviously this is a new day in Bloomington, and the way that we're approaching TIFs is much more surgical. Obviously, without TIFs, you wouldn't have Uptown Normal. You'd still have vacant lots and vacant properties and an EPA Superfund waste site. So we know that TIFs can be successful if they are used surgically and carefully, and I think that's what we had consensus on within the council last night. And in fact, that was the proposed ordinance that our staff put together.
District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley spoke to Alderman last night. His major point was, hey, before you use these tax incentives, think twice, because property tax dollars are very precious for schools. So here's what he had to say.
The idea that we are not hurt, we being District 87, by a TIF, because it will still be receiving the same amount of revenue received before the TIF, is simply wrong.
So what do you think of that central point, that TIFs are not this harmless tool, at least from a school district's perspective?
Once again, it depends upon how it's structured. Mostly, if you structure your TIF properly, your District 87s or your, obviously, Unit 5s or whoever, as I say, Unit 5 wasn't even there last night, they didn't have any concerns, it can be very positive. Just, again, it depends on how, whether you're sloppy in using your TIF, whether you're transparent using your TIF, whether or not it's very small and tight and surgical. In fact, the biggest TIF of the two that we passed since I've been mayor, one is just a couple blocks by the front and center building, very, very tight. And the other one that's not very tight, and the reason why it's not tight is because we've stretched over so we could include District 87's buildings, so we could funnel any possible surplus that we might get from the Empire Crossing TIF, which is the old Colonial Plaza, so we could funnel some of that money to District 87. Because obviously, no city is going to thrive economically if you don't have a great school system. So all those things we can certainly agree with. The only thing I would take issue is I think the Barry's statement is sometimes something we hear, but it's not one that I would ever make, I'd talk about TIFs in a broader sense. Not just the area that you are TIFing, but you're going to have economic spillovers to the areas surrounding the TIF. And so those are the areas that almost immediately within a very, usually, you know, within 3 years construction, and then you pay your taxes a year later, et cetera, that school districts will benefit from. And in the long run, they'll benefit a lot.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, the city council last night also approved the rules and procedures for the Public Safety and Community Relations Board. And that's the Civilian Police Advisory Board created last summer as a way of hopefully inoculating against flare-ups between police and people of color they serve and protect. So what do you think so far of what the board has done in terms of getting up off the ground, getting these rules in place?
I think they've done an outstanding job of doing that. One thing I think that they maybe could do more of, maybe what we need is to work with our IT so that they can have a web page and maybe or a Facebook page so that they'd be more aggressive perhaps in social media. But that would be my only... And I don't know if that's a criticism. That's just they're getting off the ground. Right?
I think the marketing and communication of a board like this is so important because
it is very important.
The people who may need it are maybe not glued to their YouTube stream on Monday nights watching city council meetings.
They're not. Right now, it is a little bit. You know, they began. This was approved last July. And then I asked the council for nominees. We approved, roughly in October, the board was approved, and then they first met in December, and they've been meeting regularly and had their quarterly meeting in March. They're having their next major quarterly meeting in June. There have been no complaints so far that have been lodged, which has been helpful. It gives them a little breathing room to figure out what their bylaws are going to be, what the procedures are going to be. But getting the word out for people, I believe they said they had a couple of dozen people at their March meeting, and that's good. So that people throughout the city realize what they're doing. The whole concept is, again, a police as well as citizens review board means to try to bring citizens and police more closely together so that we don't have incidents like you've seen in other cities. So situations do not become explosive.
And the board's chairman, Art Taylor, spoke to Alderman last night. He said they put a lot of thought into this notion of confidentiality. So making sure that board members are not privy to the name of the complainants and the officers involved and all the people involved as they're sort of looking at the nitty-gritty of the case. And that gets tricky because they
it's
also have to
tricky.
Make sure they don't have a conflict of interest, right? So how do you do that if you don't know the names? So what do you think of what you've seen so far in terms of the board is approaching this issue of confidentiality?
Well, I think that's one that they're going to need to work with the attorneys on more carefully because, for example, WGLT, if there was an event, a situation. Hopefully there's, you know, I'd love to believe that there will never be a situation where anyone is criticized in the Bloomington Police Department. But at some point, under most circumstances, you can get that information with the FOIA. And so it is a very, very tricky ground that they're going to need very strong legal advice on. And I do understand why you need confidentiality so you can just look at the merits of the case and why the police chief made the decision that he made. And it may be that then the role of the review board ends and says, hey, we think the police chief, you know, was too tough, was not tough enough, or that we agree with the decision of the chief. And then that ends. But it's hard to believe that the first few cases that come forward, whenever they come forward, are not going to be major news. And maybe bigger news than they normally would be under circumstances because this is a new board.
Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for coming in today.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us after their regular and special council meetings next week. You'll hear from Mayor Chris Coos of the town of Normal.